is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And Joe, what did you think of Dr. Kate?
That was a great segment. Except I don't have a binder fixation.
Well, we've already had a couple of listeners who said you do. How do
well,
you defend
I do,
yourself?
I don't, except the fact that I'm doing my job.
Okay. I believe, if I'm correct, what? Did you want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to mention my meeting this coming Thursday. Mm. Everyone knows I'm involved heavily on the citizens' end of the flood insurance changes.
Correct.
So we have a meeting, another outreach this Thursday at the First Congregational Church in Marshfield, Thursday at 7 p.m. First Congregational Church in Marshfield. We're going to do a PowerPoint presentation, learn about the changes coming to flood, both the firm, the flood insurance rate maps, and the Biggert Waters Act. It's open. We're probably going to have people regionally from the South Shore there. So please come and learn, because it probably and very well may affect you if you live near the water.
What are the questions that you've been asked about it?
Well, we've really just been asked to look at houses on a house-by-house situation and tell them how these acts affect them. The other big thing that we have been asked is, Marshfield's in a 90-day appeal period. Are there going to be any map appeals? In terms of the house-by-house situation, that's really what it is. Check the maps. Go to the Town of Marshfield website, our website, www.marshfieldcoastalcoalition.org. We have a link to the town website. The maps are also on our website. Look for your house. In terms of what we're going to do, we're going to outline that at our outreach, and we'll be publishing that info after the outreach. And also, if people hear me disappear, I have to leave at 7:45 to get my mom at Logan Airport. So,
okay. All right, we're going to, I believe what we have, Junior, let's see. Junior, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, there you are, okay. Of course, Junior is our resident automotive expert that we love having on from time to time. He is a reoccurring expert as well, Mr. Here's the other favorable piece to this, is that Joe likes you. And if he puts a stamp of approval on you, that definitely means that you'll be reoccurring. You'll be on more and more and more. Junior, first and foremost, how are you?
Hey, I am very good. And how are you guys down there tonight?
Pretty good.
We are rocking and rolling. We're getting ready for the changing of the seasons.
Mm.
I hate to say it, but, August always spells the cooler months ahead, the fall. It's not a bad thing, but...
Oh, it is a
it's
bad
not,
thing.
It's not, while the fall is somewhat like the spring, it's not the same. You don't have it where the promise is it's going to get warmer and better and better. What happens usually with the fall is that it's going to get cooler and cooler and rainier and wetter.
Well, you have to look at it. It's 7:30-ish or 7:33, whatever, and it's kind of like dark outside already, and that's the way it is. This is New England.
Right.
And, we can complain about it all you want. I think we had a pretty interesting summer. We had a lot of heat and humidity. A lot of people had meltdowns because their air conditioning didn't work as good as they would like to it. And a lot of people in their homes that have air conditioning, those air conditioners are running, 10, 14 days straight without really getting a break.
Well, I have to ask you, as things start getting cooler, what are some of the problems that you see rolling into your shop up at Hyde Park or down in Middleborough?
Well, right now, people haven't used their heaters all winter, all summer long, and they really haven't, for the most part, had their headlights on. I mean, that's the majority of the people. Mm. Now we're looking at headlights, and we're looking at, probably right after Labor Day, we'll be clicking the heat on just a little bit.
Right.
And, you may get that kind of a funny smell, the musty smell. That's where you have to do the little Lysol bomb trick. Going into the ventilation system. If your car is equipped with a cabin filter, good idea to think about changing it. They're pretty inexpensive, and they're accessible from either right underneath the hood at the lower part of the windshield or by just taking the glove box down, and they're right in there. They just pull in and out. The average filter is probably $20, $25 for a good filter. Of course, you got the off-brand Chinese filters that are about half that money, and they're made out of basic paper. They don't have any carbon buildup in them or any kind of additives put into the filtering material, so you don't want to buy those. And then you got the headlight kits. I mean, we've seen these people, these companies, you know, on the air, on the radio, you can buy a headlight kit for $9.99, but wait, there's more, and it'll outlast you. We guarantee this. That stuff doesn't really work. If you're going to buy a headlight restorer, you need to buy a three-step on average. The first step is a little soap and water with a couple of different grits of sandpaper. Then you have the cleaner. Then you have the sealant that goes on top of them, which is like wax. And you know what? Those things really do work. The chemical kits, the right one's going to be about $39. And you'll be able to probably do four or five sets of headlights, at least four sets of headlights. So you and your neighbors, if you have more than one car in your house that has a headlight lens that is starting to, distort a little bit in color, it's not clear anymore, that stuff does work.
Junior, my buddy and I cleaned the headlights on his car by using an abrasive chrome polisher.
Yep, you can do that.
Yep, it worked perfectly, actually.
What is it about the compound that helps it?
The way you get Meguiar's and Mother's, all those companies, you start out with a 1,000 grit sandpaper with soap and water. Mm. Then you go down to a 3,000 grit sandpaper. Then you go to the chemical cleaner, and then you have the polish. And the polish is what keeps the discoloring or the smoking of the plastic again. It puts a Marlayer film on the Parmayer film onto the lens, and that's the key, keeping the lens basically lubricated, and that makes a big difference. Yeah, you can use an abrasive compound, but you know, we even at my shops, we use the Meguiar's or the Mother's. It does cost a little bit more for the product, but you know what? It does a great job. Like what you did was good, but you must seal that with some kind of a wax or some kind of a sealant, because it will come back and oxidize all over again.
Hmm. I have to ask you is, you know, you see these days, what was the latest thing that I saw? The guy who does counting cars, that guy selling the product, that the stuff that we've seen on TV a number of times where you could take this hood from the junkyard and you can wipe this stuff on it and it'll be just like brand new. How many people do you feel get duped by a product?
Boy,
like that?
I tell you, a ton of people get duped by it. You know, if you had that same hood with that oxidation, you get a little bit of pledge with a rag, and guess what?
Same thing.
Then you go back in and do the countertops in your house. Right? I mean, it's all it does, it puts like a silicone finish on there, and they don't tell you that as soon as it dries up, it goes away. And that's kind of what happens. But, people, they love it. It's like people, if I want to lose weight, you don't have to exercise, don't change your eating habits, just take my little pill, take one a day for 30 days, and you'll see the pounds melt away. People love that kind of stuff.
Junior, I was, for a while, I actually had somebody sell me a bottle of the FW1 cleaner. Have you ever used that stuff, and what do you think about that?
Well, FW1 and all the cleaners that are out there, they're made by a handful of companies, and they private label them. Any kind of cleaner or any kind of solution that you can buy, it's going to do what it says it's going to do for the most part. There are a lot of natural cleaners that you can use. You make up your own little smorgasbord of stuff when you get the book. But, again, there are so many professional and amateur cleaners out there that you can buy in a variety of stores. Remember, we're in a chemical business, and the chemicals that we have for automobiles and even for cleaning household items, it's a multi-billion-dollar business. And if people see it, like my wife has, I think, four or five different kinds of granite cleaner. And you know what? If you read the ingredients, all four or five, they're pretty much all 98% the same.
I get to move before. We have a lot of stuff to get to here. Joe wanted to kind of follow up with another question.
No, I was actually going to ask him about one of the cars he's recently driven.
Well, not yet. We're not
okay.
Going to get to that just yet.
Well, I'm not going to be... Oh, okay.
I want to kind of stick with the theme as far as the weather goes. One of the residuals we have with fall is when it rains, it turns cooler. We have leaves that fall off the trees, and most of the times they find homes under our hoods in areas that they shouldn't be. What's bad about this, Junior?
Wait a minute. The leaves fall off the trees in the fall? Yeah, and most of them, or a lot of them, they end up right down at the lower part of the windshield, and they get stuffed up into the ventilation system. Remember, 99% of the cars suck air from the bottom of the windshield for the heating and ventilation system in our cars. And thank goodness that we do have, in a lot of cars, these cabin filters, because they actually collect a lot of the junk, leaves, debris, little acorns and things like that, that get swallowed into the ventilation system. You want to take and clean that on a regular basis, because not only can it get in there and plug up the ventilation system, it can also plug up the natural water drains that are in the base of the windshield. Think about it. When it rains and all the rainwater goes down the windshield, where do you think it goes? It's got to go out drains.
Right.
And if they're plugged up, whoops, we're going to have water in the car, and it's going to be absolutely terrible.
The other thing I wanted to kind of point out as well is, depending on if you leave, I know some people like Joe. Joe likes to take his vehicle off the road.
I do.
If you're not somebody who garages it or covers it, and you value that vehicle and you don't cover it, I mean, and having all this stuff on there could eventually leave stains or do damage to your paint. Is that correct or incorrect?
Oh, sure. You get leaves aren't as bad as bird droppings. Bird droppings, the acidity in a bird dropping will penetrate the clear coat and go right into the paint in less than 1 week's time.
Oh,
once it gets a little bit of baking from the sun. And as far as the leaves can actually put stains in, but it takes a lot longer for the leaves. Now, to cover the car or not cover the car, that's a great question. When you cover an automobile, unless you're using a nice, soft, pliable cover that's really like cotton, then on top of that, you've got to put your cover that keeps out all the water. Because if you just take one of these waterproof covers and put it in your car, the wind going back and forth will end up down the road taking part of the paint finish off with it. Just going back, think about it. Like a windshield wiper in the windshield. But now you've got a complete plastic or some kind of rayon cover in your car, and it just keeps going back and forth with the wind. And, you know, the snow gets on it, water gets on it, and then what happens, the sun comes back out. If it's a dark-colored cover, it can actually do more damage than do any kind of savings for you. So you got to really weigh that cover that car up question big time.
I actually garage my car and cover it with a water and dust-proof cover.
And he usually checks it like 3 or 4 times a week just to make sure it's okay.
About 3 or 4 times a day?
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, you know, Joe's the type of guy that really has an infatuation with his automobile. And, you know, that's really good. There are basically 3 kinds of people. People that don't give a poop about their car.
Yep.
People that somewhat care. And people like Joe that are in love with their car.
Oh, yes.
Or have a binder fixation, as we have learned tonight.
That's okay. That's a good thing.
Junior, we know I from your conversations that we have had on here in the past, you are somebody who, because you are someone who works in the press, you've written that you have newer vehicles that you test drive. I guess the most recent vehicle you've had a chance to drive is the Jeep Grand Cherokee. Give us your opinion on it.
Yeah, before you tell us about that, though, Junior, was it an SRT Cherokee?
One was an SRT8, and one was an Overland. We'll go with the SRT8.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, because he's...
I'm sorry?
I said tell me about that, because I've never driven an SRT Jeep, but yeah, they look nice. Mean.
The difference between the last year and this year is they have an 8-speed transmission, a super big navigation/touchscreen audio system, a real hard, I would say a very firm hard suspension that's pretty forgiving over bumps. Very nice seating with an upgrade in seating. The base price is like $63,000. We drove one that was $68,000 and another one that was $72,000 for a Jeep. Very, very high marketable car price-wise. Lots of options. Very, very quick to go. The transmission is 8 speeds, which means you're always in an area. And this is what Joe's going to love. It has launch control.
Oh, yeah.
You stand there and you just put the pedal to the metal, and the computer takes over to eliminate any kind of wheel spin. But on an all-wheel drive vehicle, of course, it's pretty limited. So it's kind of like a little gadgety thing, but it does work. The Jeep does not have, the SRT8 does not have adjustable air suspension. It is set with Gilstein-type shocks, Brembo brakes,
big
fatties all the way around for tires and wheels. The more utilitarian 2014 Cherokee Overland is right around 51,000 buckos. Still has a Hemi, 8-speed transmission, 18-by-8-inch wheels all around. You can get it with a couple of different tire choices. Big disc brakes all around. And again, it works real good at about 360 horsepower with that big V8 that is engine, cylinder, displacement, elimination. So in other words, you're going around down the road, and it goes from a V8 to a V4. Yes, you can feel it in a four-cylinder mode.
Goodness.
Is it atrocious? Absolutely not. It's fabulous, and that's what helps generate the gas mileage. Now, the problem with either one of the Jeeps, why we didn't buy either one, because we could have got a great deal being in the press from the press pool we have. My lovely wife had trouble getting in either one of them. The Grand Cherokee Overland has air suspension. Even on its lowest setting, it is pretty high up, due in part with the way the seating is. The seats are pretty high, pretty firm inside. Same thing with the SRT8. Other than that, we probably would have bought one of these vehicles. But to road test them, they were fun. Gas mileage was good. The SRT8 can run on regular or premium. You will get more power and performance from the premium gasoline, but it will self-adjust to the regular use of regular unleaded fuel.
Just so folks know, we are, again, speaking with Junior D'Amato. Junior is usually on with us on a regular basis, talking about a number of things, whether it's problems with vehicles, things that he sees on a reoccurring basis, or as he's talking about now, some of the vehicles that he's had a chance to test drive or preview. I know one thing that you and I have talked about in the past, and the one thing that you usually keep an eye out for is what's coming up for 2014 for pickup trucks. What are some of the things that you're seeing in regards to pickup trucks?
Well, there's no question that Chevrolet has made a big, big move this year, and it was, we wrote a column on a newspaper, I think it was last week or the week before, that the new 2014 Silverados and GMCs are out now, and they're being discounted a little bit, believe it or not, in the half-ton range. The three-quarter ton and the heavy-duty of the vehicles will be out probably sometime October, November, for people that want to buy a 14 and put a plow on it. The big news is a different frame, a revised 5.3-liter V8 engine with, you know, all kinds of fuel enhancement with direct fuel injection, cylinder deactivation like the Jeeps and a lot of other companies have these days. And this is really cool. If you want to get into the back bed of your vehicle, unlike Ford has a little ladder that comes out of the tailgate, which is kind of gaffy, but it does work. Chevrolet put a grab handle on either side of the rear of the truck with a hole or basically an indentation in the bumper so you can put your foot in either side in the corner. Nice idea, similar to what they had on the Avalanche a few years ago. And by the way, the Avalanche, we can say bye-bye, it's going away. I don't know why, but Chevrolet has decided to get rid of the Chevrolet Avalanche, which will probably also get rid of, I think, the Cadillac Escalade pickup truck, I believe. And I think those vehicles had a nice niche market, and they worked really well for a lot of people.
I have to ask you, with the cylinder deactivation, have you read anything or seen anything in regards to uneven engine wear? Is that a concern?
No, it really isn't. And here's another thing that a lot of our listeners may not know. In the old days, you overheated an engine, you would end up smoking, steaming, and going wacko. Today's cars, I started with GM with their Cadillac Northstar, their vehicles, when the car starts to overheat, it will deactivate and shut down cylinders and turn them into just pumping air like a big air pump. So it really does make a big difference. Back in the old days, Cadillac had that V864, which was just a complete disaster. And now they've got it where it's all electronic and it does work really, really well, and it does save, I think, a lot of fuel economy, and it will save people money. But as far as any kind of wear, no, because what it's doing, it becomes an air pump. It shuts off the fuel going into that cylinder, so you know you're not doing anything. It shuts off the fuel and spark, so all you have is a little air pump going on.
I guess I have to ask you, talking about the fuel pumps, talking about buying cars, one of the things you and I kind of throw around is something to throw out there. In today's day and age, it seems as though you can buy anything over the internet. How safe is it to buy a car over the internet?
Hold on to your wallet, hold on to your pants, hold on to your seat, and unless you know who you're dealing with, be extremely, extremely careful. I know that, from time to time, we'll be on, Craigslist thing.
Yep.
And this was one story I'll tell you about. They had a Jeep SRT8 that this guy supposedly was selling. It was in a container, and the vehicle was in Miami, believe it or not, of all places. No phone number, contacted the guy back and forth by email. He says, all you got to do is just send the money to this this address, and he says, we'll ship the car right up to you. I said, that sounds great. And I said, this has got to be a scam. It was about $10,000 less than what it should have been. So we kept talking with the guy for probably about 3 weeks. And then one day I emailed him. I said, look, I'm in Fort Lauderdale at the hotel. I can meet you in Miami, and we can give you the cash. I have the cash with me, and I'm going to drive this thing home. I never heard from the guy again.
Hmm.
I mean, you got to really be careful. If you're buying the car from a good known dealer, you would not have a problem. Or if you know you're dealing with someone that is in a particular club, you have an address, you have a phone number, and then you tell the guy, look, I'm going to fly out and see the car. And if he says, great, I'll pick you up at the airport, you know it's probably going to be a pretty good deal and it's a real thing. But if there's no way that you can get in touch with a guy by phone, address, you Google a guy, whatever, or the person, and, you know, things don't look right, you know, if it looks like a pig, it's probably a pig.
Again, we're speaking with our automotive expert, Junior D'Amato, who joins us every couple of weeks to talk about whether it's some of the new vehicles he's driving, some of the things to keep an eye out for during, depending on the time of year. And probably the last thing I'll probably get a chance to ask you, what are some of the things that you're seeing on a regular basis roll into your shop?
There are so many problems with these cars nowadays with evaporative emission problems. This is a problem that we're seeing more and more. A lot of bad connections, little electronic connections, a lot of broken vacuum lines, valves underneath the vehicle that are loaded with rust, charcoal canisters, vent valves that are underneath the vehicle, and a lot of Volkswagen purge valves, which are underneath the hood, which set codes like 441, 234. Very, very common. And a really big problem that we have seen is people not changing the oil the way they should, people using oil that they've had in the house for years, not using the right viscosity or the right grade or class of oil. With today's cars, with these variable valve timings, all this stuff is done both electronically and with engine lubrication pressure, oil pressure. And if you've got dirty oil, you're not using the right oil, I can put a couple of quarts of this in. It's been sitting around for a while. Or say the car calls 050 or 030, 020, whatever the number might be for the application, you really should use it. If you're out of oil or you need to add oil, well, do whatever you have to. But at your earliest convenience, get that out and get the correct oil in the car. I guess it's better to have a little bit of the wrong oil than have no oil at all. But again, it is so critical to keep the correct oil in there and change it according to what their manufacturer tells you or sooner.
And beware of the oil change specials you may see around from time to time.
That's great. You know, a lot of the oil change specials that you see out there, a lot of them are 50-50 oil. 50% is the brand new oil. 50% is reconstituted oil.
Ooh.
That's right. Just like reconstituted antifreeze or recycled antifreeze, recycling oil is a big thing right now with a lot of the quick change oil companies. So you're going in for an oil change for 1995, 29, whatever it might be. You have to ask them: is this pure virgin oil, or are we using 50-50 recycled oil?
So,
like antifreeze, very common.
So the idea is that if you're getting a deal, it's possible that, you know, whoever the particular potential places that you're going to is cutting corners in order to accommodate you.
It could be, you know, we don't want to throw stones at
it. I don't want to throw stones, but
it could very well.
Buyer beware.
You have to, buyer always.
Buyer beware.
It's not like when you're going down to Joe's gas station, your gas station, and my gas station. Mm. I think the only time you find a big difference in the gasoline is if you're going for the premium unleaded, whether it be maybe Shell or Sunoco that advertise a couple of very different mixtures. And that might be worth the extra money. I don't know. But it's up to the buyer who's doing it. But I can tell you, if your car is supposed to be rated, and it is rated for premium, you will get the most affordable and available power out of the vehicle with the correct octane of gasoline.
And, you know, we got like 2 minutes left, Joe Junior. If there's anything that you wanted to say to our listeners before we head off air, what would you say to them?
Again, we've talked about this a million times. You don't want to run that gas tank down below a quarter of a tank, because the fuel pump sits in the tank and it gets cooled by the gasoline that's in the tank. And if it doesn't have gasoline around it, it can tend to overheat, and we don't need that. Winter is, you know, Christmas is, what, 128 days away, whatever?
Correct.
I know Joe likes that. So you got to think about the tire replacement, all-season tires, or if you're a snow tire person, you got to think about that. And, again, the best for the windshield washer de-icer, it's not that blue stuff. It's either the purple or the orange stuff. The orange stuff, or like orangey color, does have, some of them have little Rain-X in them.
Yep.
So it actually puts a nice film on the windshield. And, you know, you just got to be careful and don't use anything but a plastic scraper on your windshield, or else you're going to scratch it. And if you do happen to scratch it, you can go down to your local glass company. This is something Joe's going to like.
Yep.
To get rid of water spots, you can mix like a little paste together. They do sell this stuff. I bought it, and I also have some, to clean the water spots off your windows. This stuff works really well. And if you have a film in the window you can't get off, that's the only stuff that'll remove it.
Well, that's all the time we have, Junior. We'll look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks.
That's a wrap, gentlemen. Have a great night and be safe.